Welcome to the podcast from Gateway Baptist Church. This is a message from our series on the book of 1 Peter where we're challenged to live different. You can connect with us further at gatewaybaptist.com.au.
How are we this morning? Good. Hey, who's here this morning? And you can type this in the chat if you're online with us this morning, but who believes that God moves in power when we pray? Come on, type it in the chat if you believe it. Put your hand up if you're in the room. God moves in power when we pray. We've already seen God moving in power over the last couple of weeks of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Who believes that God could actually move in power as we pray today? A few of you, awesome. Who believes that God can actually move in power, not just within these four walls, but into our community, and God hears our prayer for this nation and for the nations, and God can turn around nations as his people cry out to him in humble, faith-filled prayer. Who believes that this morning? Awesome. Well, we're going to do some praying like that in a little while. We're going to look at what the scripture says about that. And I'm going to pray right now. But as I do, I want to pray for Andrew Wright, who's heading back to Kitcombe in 10 days' time. He won't be here next Sunday. You'll remember at Christmas, we gave a really generous gift to build a new hospital wing at Yotcombe Hospital. He's going back with a builder to just begin to develop some plans for that. I also know his daughter Sarah's going back to do some optometry work because I saw her during the week and she told me I needed glasses. But what I've decided to do instead was to try preaching with my iPad with bigger font, and we'll see how it goes. Hey, Andrew, why don't you jump to your feet and let's gather around him and let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the good things that you are doing in Kitcombe. God, thank you for just this place of healing that you've created, where people truly are getting healed in body, mind, and spirit. And God, just thank you for the generosity of this church, which has enabled that hospital to expand. And pray that you will go before them over these next few weeks and months as they develop plans to see more people get welcomed into your kingdom and more people come and receive the healing that they need. God, would you bless them, bless Andrew and Sarah as they train and treat people medically. God, would your hand of protection and blessing be on them, and the ministry of Yotcombe. And God, we pray for all of us here today. God, we pray that you'd put a prayer in our heart for our families. You'd put a prayer in our heart for this church. You'd write a prayer in our heart for this nation that desperately needs a move of your Holy Spirit. And God, would you give us faith that as we pray in the name of Jesus, that you would move in power today. We ask in your name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, why don't you just encourage Andrew as he heads back to Kitcombe in a week or so's time. You know, when you receive a request to do something, it's the name of the person making the request that makes all the difference. It's the power and the authority that they possess that makes all the difference as to whether you'll do what they request. If I'm sitting at my office, you know, during the week and this letter, you know, comes upon my desk and it says, "Dear Jason, in the spirit of servant leadership, can I kindly ask you to mow the lawn at Gateway Mackenzie on Saturday to ensure that our property is well presented for our worship services on Sunday? While you are there, could you also clean up the mess the youth group left in the loft on Friday night if it's not too much trouble? Yours in his service, Derek Peters, Executive Pastor." I don't care how nicely he asks. I'm not getting up to do what he requests. He doesn't have enough power and authority. And he's got two hands and a heartbeat, and he can get his white jeans dirty mowing the 27 acres that we have out there, and the youth pastor can go and clean up the mess. Thank you very much. There's not enough power in his name to get me up off the chair to do what he wants. If I wake up in the morning and I'm sitting at the breakfast table and I see this note scrawled on the breakfast bench, "Dad, I love you. You're the best dad. I made a mess in the kitchen last night, didn't have time to clean it up. Reckon you could clean it for me and mow the lawn before my mates come around for a party tonight. Joey." "I don't think so. I don't care how much he loves me. I don't care how awesome he thinks I am. He's 22 years old, is about to get married, and he needs some training in righteousness. He can go and mow the lawn and clean up. But if I find this on the lounge as I'm sitting down to enjoy a game of footy, it says, 'Jay, can you please clean up the mess the grandkids made in the lounge room and mow the lawn before they come around to make more mess later today? Susan, kiss, hug. P.S. Leave me your credit card to buy a dress or two for the wedding.'" I'll instantly get up out of my chair. There's only one person who can get me up out of my chair to mow the lawn and to clean up somebody else's mess. Her name is Susan. And in our place at Alexandra Hills, her name has great power and authority. We do whatever she says. It's the name of the person making the request that makes all the difference. A name has power. When you put your name on a letter, it holds some power when it arrives someplace else. Even though you are not present in the room when that letter arrives, it reveals your will and it invokes your power if your name is on the bottom. When you put your name on a petition along with other names, it has some power to change a given situation. There is power in every name. Every name has some power. The name of Susan has the power to make me tremble in my boots. But there is a name that is above every other name. It's the most well-known name in all of history. Even though he hasn't walked physically on the earth for 2,000 years, it's still the most well-known name in the world today. It's the name that makes all of hell tremble in fear. It's the name that makes all of heaven erupt in shouts of praise. It is the only name that can heal a human heart. It's the only name that can save a sinful soul. It is the only name that can set us free from sin and death. It is the name that is above every other name. It is the name of? It's the name of Jesus. His name is above every other name. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Can I hear an amen this morning? There is power in the name of Jesus. It is the name above every other name. And Jesus' first followers, as we read the first few chapters of Acts, we actually see they understood really clearly this was not about them. They understood that everything that they were doing, whether they were preaching or praying, whether they were speaking to people who were sick or speaking to people in authority, they knew that it was about the name of Jesus. They could only do what they were doing because of the name of Jesus, even though Jesus was no longer present with them. He had been, but now he was no longer physically present with them. that they knew that his name revealed the will of the Father, that his name actually invoked his power even though he wasn't present in the room. So in Acts chapter 2, when Peter shared the gospel for the very first time, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." You want your sins forgiven? That there's nothing that I can give you, but Jesus has power and authority to forgive every sin. It's in the name of Jesus that if you repent, you can be forgiven of your sins, because he has the power and authority to forgive sins that nobody else has power and authority to do. In Acts chapter 3, when a lame man asked for some spare change, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. I don't even have any money to help you out, to help you get your next meal, but I do have something better, that the name of Jesus Christ has power over sickness. You can get up and walk." In Acts chapter 4, when the powers that be put Peter and John in prison, they asked, "By what power or what name?" Because name is, it represents the power and the authority of a person. "By what power or what name did you do this?" And Peter said this in verse 10 to 12, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other," come on, say it with me, "there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." In Acts chapter 4, verse 18, those that thought they had authority said to Peter and John, "Do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. We don't want any more of this going on." And in Acts 4, verse 21, Peter and John said, "Get stuffed." It's in the Greek. Because they knew that there was power in the name of Jesus. And when they were told never to speak again in the name of Jesus, this is what they did do. In verse 24, it says, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They began their prayer. It says, just the local church, just like us, came together under this threat of being told not to speak again in the name of Jesus, and their first response was to pray. They began to raise their voices together in prayer, and as they began to pray, they praised. Because there's power in the name of Jesus when we praise him. There is power in praise. It's why we do it every Sunday. We praise because Jesus is worthy of all of our praise. He deserves all of our praise. In heaven one day when we see him face to face, we will bow down and praise him. We just will. He's worthy. But this is how kind, this is how generous Jesus is, that when we give him what he deserves, he gives something back to us. He actually encourages us as we praise him. There's power in praise. They praised God by praying the words of a really old song. It was written 600 years earlier. For us, it was kind of like, you know, singing an old song like Out of the Blue or the Brown Book. Come on, who remembers those days? It's a really old song, 600 years old. And Psalm chapter 2, they actually quote it in their prayer. It says, "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one." This old song declares that there'll always be powerful people who will resist and oppose the plans of God. But ultimately, they will be in vain. So what they did is, as they praised the truth of who God is, the truth of what God has done and will do. They applied the words of this ancient song to their present situation. That's the power of praise. We get to take the unchanging nature, the unchanging power of God, and as we praise Him, we apply it into our current situation. So just like we've done this morning, we praise that Jesus has the power to save. He has power over sin and death. And what we get the opportunity to do as we praise Him is declare it over our present situation. Jesus, You have the power to save my family member who opposes You right now. Jesus, I declare Your power to save over them. As we declare that Jesus has power over sin and over sickness, we get to declare that Jesus, You have power to heal in body, mind, and spirit my daughter that is suffering. You have power, Jesus. As we declare that Jesus, You are the Prince of Peace. You're mighty God, everlasting Father. You're the Prince of Peace. We get to declare that God, You can bring peace in this strained marriage. Jesus, You can bring peace to this anxious heart. We actually begin to declare ancient truth and we apply it to our current situation. It's the power of praise. Praise magnifies the Lord and it changes our perspective on our problems. Listen to the rest of this prayer. It says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, they're talking about things that have just happened. They met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against Your holy servant, Jesus, whom You anointed. They did what Your power and Your will decided beforehand should happen. They got so much trust in God's sovereign power that they're praising God's sovereign power that He's able to accomplish His plans, whatever the problems. Even His enemies do what His power has predetermined. Ultimately, even though evil goes for little runs, evil sort of spreads into our world and into our community, God is still able to work all things together for good. That there's nothing that's beyond His reach. You see, this is the incredible gift of God. We receive power when we give Jesus the praise that He deserves. Let me just illustrate this in a kind of really physical, simple way. I haven't been able to run since Christmas. I've hurt my Achilles because I'm old. I need glasses and a new leg. And so I started going to the gym a bit over the last few months, and I don't like it as much as running. And at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, I will be in the gym and I'll look at those weights and I won't want to pick them up. I'm just drained of energy and I feel like I just don't want to get started. Then I'll put my AirPods in and I'll just press play on my playlist and some music will start in my ears. And before you know it, I got new power. I can pick up those weights and begin to lift them. When I didn't think I had the power, when I thought I was drained of energy, this music just gave me power I didn't know was within me. Then I get tired again. My weights go back on the floor. I start to feel defeated. I can't do one more set. And I've got a pretty eclectic playlist. And a new song comes on. And all of a sudden, I'm lifted into a new place. I'm not in the gym in Cleveland anymore. I'm now in the throne rooms of heaven. I got one hand in my pocket and I'm just beginning to praise the name of Jesus. I don't care what is happening around me. I am praising Jesus. I'm no longer defeated, but I have victory and I have power in Jesus' name. The people in the gym have no idea what is going on. I'm just about the end. I'm just about finished and I'm really not enjoying it and I'm discouraged and I want to give up. And then this song comes on my playlist. And once again, I'm in a different place. It's Christmas again. And I am declaring that Jesus has come into the world. And I'm standing on the stage at Gateway, declaring His praises with everything I have got. I'm walking out of the gym on high. I'm taking the weights with me, and I am... All right, that'll do. There's a little bit of exaggeration in that story, but there's also a lot of truth. There is power in music. God made it. He knows it's powerful. And there is real power when music is put to the truth of who Jesus is. It gives you power as you praise Him, as you begin to declare who He is over your situation. When you feel drained, He gives you power to do what you didn't think you were capable of doing. When you feel defeated, He actually lifts you into a different realm where you begin to actually magnify God and see your problems from a different perspective. And when you feel discouraged and you don't feel like you can go on, He can actually fill your heart with joy. I want to encourage some of you today, get yourself a playlist of praise. Download it, get it on your phone, get it in your car, get it in your AirPods, wherever it is that you feel drained, wherever it is you feel defeated, whenever it is that you feel discouraged, play it in your house, play it in your car, play it over your family, play it over yourself as you go to sleep. Begin to see, magnify God and begin to see everything that's going on around us from His perspective. There is power that we receive when we give Him the praise that He deserves. Peter and John in the early church, they praised Him in prayer and then they petitioned Him in prayer. Listen to the next bit of this prayer. It says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. They prayed in the name of Jesus and they asked God to pour out His power on them today, and God answered their prayer. The church was shaken. The power of God was poured out into their lives and it impacted the communities around them. I just want to encourage you, and God brought me back to this just during the week as I was reading this scripture. We've seen some of these same answers to prayer in our church. In 2008, when we were seeking God together in a time of prayer, it was a week of prayer back then, we were seeking God together for what He had for our future. What was His vision for us? And we had four big prayers that we prayed during that seven-day period. We prayed that we would be a church where prodigals came home. We prayed that we would be a church where people would be healed in body, mind, and spirit. We prayed that we would be a church where whole families would be redeemed. We prayed that we would be a church that planted churches and sent the next wave of Gateway Beyond workers to be a light for the gospel in the nations of the world. I just had a moment this week where I looked back and I thought, thank you, God. You've answered those prayers. Last year, we baptized more prodigals than ever before in our 90-year history. And I want to encourage you, the church in Australia is not dying. God's power has not diminished. Also in 2023, as a whole Queensland Baptist movement across our state, we baptised more people in 2023 than ever before in a calendar year in our 170-year history. God is moving. There's spiritually hungry people out there. The gospel is still the power for salvation today. God is moving in this church, in our nation. The power of Jesus' name is not diminished. We prayed for people to be healed in body, mind, and spirit. And on Monday night, there were people down here at our prayer and healing night that were healed. Deaf ears got opened. Hands that were in pain were set free, and there's new freedom from pain. There was healing in people's backs. There was healing in people's hearts. In 2008, we didn't have a counselling centre, and we prayed that we would be a refuge of healing, a place where people get healed in body, mind, and spirit. Today, we've got a counselling centre on the other side of that wall and in some of our other campuses, which is now the largest Christian counselling centre in all of Brisbane. God has answered that prayer. People are coming in and they're finding healing and hope in Jesus' name. We are seeing whole families redeemed. If you were here a few weeks ago, you would have seen three generations of one family standing in that baptistry declaring their faith in Jesus, all with unique stories, but God just blessing, redeeming whole families. We've planted campuses. We've actually planted five. We are now one church in six campuses, you know, sharing the love and the hope of Jesus across this city and around our world. We've opened new doors for the gospel, and we've sent the next wave, a young generation, to go and to take the gospel to the nations. We prayed these prayers 16 years ago, and sometimes when we start praying something so long ago, we actually forget to look back and give thanks to God for all that he has done. That has not come about, you know, just by hard work and perseverance and, you know, us doing our best. That's come about because God has moved sovereignly. God has poured out his favor because he loves to change lives and transform communities. I just think we need to pause this morning and say thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done in our church and blessing communities around our city. God is still shaking churches. God is shaking and awakening his church to the power of prayer to transform communities in Jesus' name. The church in Australia is not dying. It is not defeated. Its power is not diminished. We might get discouraged from time to time. And that's why we've got to praise. That's why we've got to come together for 21 days of prayer and fasting and magnify the Lord together, because there is power in the name of Jesus and it has not diminished one little bit. And there's power in the name of Jesus when we know our position in Jesus. The word in is important. It's a preposition of position. You see, when you put your faith in Christ, you receive a new position before God. In Christ, you become a child of God, a son and a daughter of the King. Because Jesus took your sin from you, who removed it as far as the east, even from the west, everything that separated us from God. If we put our faith in Christ, and if you haven't done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that just in a few moments' time, either online or in the room. In Christ, you become a friend of God. You become a child of God. You know, in Christ, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ, you are seated in the heavenly realms. This is just an incredible thing God wants us to understand about our position. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things through the power of his word. He has power over everything. His word has all power and all authority, having provided purification or forgiveness for our sins. he sat down at the right hand of God. Because what he came to do on earth has been done. And he is now seated at the right hand. He's seated in a place of power. And the incredible privilege that we need to understand is that we are seated with him. We are seated in Christ. I really wanted to have my granddaughter here today, but unfortunately she's come home from kindy with one of those sicknesses that kindies seem to breed. Because I think just her sitting on my knee, listening to my voice and understanding my protection is a bit of a picture of what Jesus does for us. See, Jesus is seated at the right hand. When the enemy comes to kill and to destroy and to lie to us, now Jesus is our mediator. He's the one who says to the Father, no, they're in me. They're covered by my blood. He's our intercessor. He prays for us. He's our advocate. He wants us to sit, relax into his arms and sit upon his knee. And the words that you'll hear are, you are loved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You have purpose. You don't have to strive to do anything to achieve my favor, but you have purpose. And I'm going to empower you to do it. You have power. Because you're precious to me, and every person you ever lock eyes with is precious to me. It's this place of not anxiety, but it's just enjoying the presence of God. We are in Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. We have a new position in Christ. We are much loved children of God because we are in Christ. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray with confidence and with a shameless audacity, expecting to receive, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He loves to give good gifts to his children. We can pray with confidence. A few weeks ago, Susan and I got a text message from Lockie Hood, who is our creative ministries manager here at Gateway. He's also the boyfriend of my eldest daughter, Jess. And the text message said this: hey, Jason and Susan, I'd like to find a time where I can have a chat to you, please. Would there be a convenient time where I can meet with you both in the next week or so without Jess and not at church? I was pretty confident that this was not going to be a chat about our WH&S policy. It was not going to be a chat about our Vision Sunday video that Lockie does a great job producing. It wasn't going to be a chat about our Easter services coming up. And so I said, yeah, we made a time to meet at a coffee shop in a few days' time. And we got there and he shook my hand very formally and Susan hugged him and he said, oh, let me buy you a coffee. And Susan says, no, no, Jason will get it. And I said, I will not. I said, this conversation is about to cost me a fortune. I'm going to get my money's worth out of this meeting. He kindly brought us a coffee and he sat down with both of us and said, you probably know why you're here. I really love Jess and I'd love to ask your blessing for me to ask her to marry me. I immediately said yes. Immediately. Because we've actually prayed for this moment. We prayed that our kids would find somebody that loved Jesus and loved them the way that Jesus loved them. You know what? We actually never prayed that we'd actually like their families too. But God is generous. So far, 3 from 3. It's incredible. I don't care whether they like us or not. It doesn't matter. It's not my problem. But I immediately said yes, not because of his eloquent words. He was a little bit nervous. Not because of his great workplace achievements, and he is great in our staff team here at Gateway. I immediately said yes, because I love to give good gifts to my children. And I know this is the best thing for Jess. I know she's going to get blessed. And so as a dad, I immediately said yes. I gave away, you know, one of the three most precious girls in the world to a young punk who wears shorts to work in a heartbeat. And he was pretty confident in making the request. He'd already bought the ring. I think he must have sold everything he owned to buy that rock that he's put on her finger. And we're pretty excited about. So you can pray with confidence. You can pray with confidence, knowing that your Father in heaven loves to give good gifts to his kids. There's power in the name of Jesus when we understand our position in him, when we're in a personal relationship with him. The name of Jesus is not an incantation you put on the end of a request to get what you want. It's not like I can stand here and say, Father, I want a 300 series turbo diesel Land Cruiser, a 1500 cc jet ski, someone to mow my lawn, and please get Susan off my back. In Jesus' name. That's not how it works. I've tried. I have never got an answer to that prayer. It's not a formula to follow to get what you want. I want you to just take hold of this next thing I'm going to say, because I've actually seen too many people walk away from their faith because they didn't get what they asked for when they asked for it. Or they believed that God's, you know, promises always happened instantly. All of the promises of God are only true in relationship with God. And they will be true for all of eternity and completely one day. But all of his promises are true now in relationship with God, but only in relationship with God. He never gives us a formula to follow. We follow a person. His name is Jesus, he's the King of Kings, but his death made a way for you to be his friend. And he wants you to get to know him personally. On the night before he died, Jesus gave his disciples some final instructions about prayer. He says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You see, as you get to know Jesus as a friend, you get to know what he wants to put his name to. As you get to know Jesus personally, as you listen to the whisper of his Spirit that lives within you, you get to know his timing. He actually leads you to pray for certain things at certain times. He says, you're not a servant, but as you get to know me, as you become a friend, you get to know my Father's business, that there's power in the name of Jesus when we're in personal relationship with him. And lastly, there's power in the name of Jesus when we persevere in prayer with him. Luke chapter 18, Jesus told his disciples a parable. I won't go into all the parable, but essentially says he told them this parable so that they should pray and not give up. He wanted them to persevere in prayer. And if you read through it, you see that when he comes again on the earth, he wants to find people still praying with faith. It means it hasn't all happened yet. All of, you know, the world's problems haven't come to an end. We are still holding on to faith, believing that one day he'll make all things right, and believing in the meantime he can intervene in power when his people come before him in prayer. And there's this beautiful picture in Revelation chapter 5 that I keep coming back to, and the church is in a really tough time. And they're wondering, does God really have power? And Jesus gives his best mate John a picture of this big golden bowl full of incense. And it says it's the prayer of all the saints that have all been heard, and they've all been collected. And there is a time when that bowl gets tipped out over the earth and power moves from heaven to earth. And we need to remember that picture. We live in this Insta 2-minute noodle society where we think what we pray for should happen now. And sometimes it does. And sometimes we got to persevere knowing that it's the sort of thing that Jesus loves to put his name to and believing that he's got power over it ultimately. And we know that one day he'll make this thing right. But right now we're asking him and we're persevering in him and praying in his name for him to intervene today. There is power in the name of Jesus when we persevere in prayer with him. When we pray in the name of Jesus, God shakes his church and power moves from heaven to earth. When Peter and John prayed in Jesus' name, the lame walked. People were saved and the church was shaken. A little bit later, when Paul and Silas prayed and praised in Jesus' name, the walls of a prison shook, doors flew open, and whole families were redeemed. In Acts chapter 1, before the church was even birthed, it says that the believers gathered together and constantly, they prayed together constantly. It was the only thing they knew how to do at that point, was to pray together constantly until an outpouring of God's Spirit came upon them, and they too were shaken. They too spoke the word of God boldly. The church was birthed, and the hungry were fed. The poor were cared for. The oppressed were set free. The lonely were welcomed. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it's what he's still doing today. As his people cry out to him constantly in prayer, he's still shaking his church. He's still awakening his church. He's still filling his church with power to speak the word of God with boldness. That is why we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting. That is why this week we are going to cover our church. We're going to cover our families. We're going to cover our city in prayer 24/7. As Tim said, go on the website, pick an hour to pray. If somebody else has already got that hour, it doesn't matter. Pray with them. I don't care if it's 100 people praying at that hour. If you want to help us cover the whole 24/7 in prayer, be gracious and put your hand up and say, I'll do 3 o'clock Tuesday morning. We're going to need somebody to do that so we can cover this whole week in prayer, because we're believing that God is going to shake his church as we cry out to him in prayer. And make sure you're here next Sunday night. I know most of you here don't normally come to 5 p.m., but just this one Sunday of the year, come along. We're going to gather together in unified prayer in every campus at 5 p.m. It's not going to be a normal church service. It's going to be a prayer meeting. We're going to cry out together for God to move in our families, in our community, and across this nation. We're going to pray about some of those things. We're going to magnify God in prayer, just look to him, praise his name in just a moment. But I just want to give you an opportunity to pray a really important prayer before we do that. It's more important than a prayer of blessing. It's more important than a prayer for rain. It's more important than a prayer for provision. It's a prayer for salvation. It's a simple prayer, but it's a life-changing prayer. It's a prayer that recognizes that you're a sinner who needs a savior. It's a prayer that recognizes that Jesus is the only name that has power to save you from sin and death. And the good news is it's a prayer that Jesus always answers. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, you know that Jesus is Lord of all, and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you mean this prayer, you choose to turn from an old way of life to follow Jesus, whether you're online in your home this morning or whether you're here in the room with us, Jesus will hear this prayer. and he'll flood your life with forgiveness, and he'll change you one day at a time into his likeness. If you're here, and maybe you've just been playing the church game for a while, or you've been watching online for a while, just kind of trying to work out what this church thing's all about, or maybe you kind of know the truth, but you've wandered off, and life is full of addiction and the mess of unforgiveness, and you just know it's time to get right with God. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray this prayer right now. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to close their eyes and bow their heads. And if you're in the room or if you're online, I'm just going to ask, you know, if you're online, you've got to press a button to raise a hand. But if you're in the room, you've just got to raise your hand while everyone's eyes are closed and heads bowed and say, I'm praying that prayer in faith today. I'm raising my hand in faith, believing that Jesus hears my prayer. If that's you today, just raise your hand wherever you are right now. Bless you. Who else today? Bless you. Who else? Just stick your hand up just so I can see it. Once I've seen it, you can put it down. Bless you up the back. That's awesome. Bless you. Good man. Good man. Who else today? If you're online, just click that button. Just saying, I'm praying this prayer today. Bless you. I see that hand. That's awesome. Okay, you can all put your hands down. If that's you today, just encourage you, whether you're online or in the room with us, just pray this prayer along with me. The quietness of your own heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for your extravagant love for me. I'm sorry for the way that I've sinned against you. I choose today to turn to you. I choose to repent. And I ask for forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place to forgive my sin. And I ask today that you would set me free from the power of sin and death. And I choose today to follow you, Jesus, as my King. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, come on, why don't we just put our hands together, just celebrate with those who have prayed that prayer. If that's you today, please let us know. Please go and talk to someone at our welcome desk, or if you're online, just let someone know online today. We'd love to help you get started in following Jesus today. Hey, why don't we all stand together? We are going to begin to declare in praise the power of the name of Jesus. We're going to sing just a couple of songs, or choruses of a couple of songs we sing quite a bit. It's talking about the beautiful name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, church. I just want to encourage you, whether you're online or in the room, just begin to lift your hands. Come on. Lift your hands in praise this morning. If you've never done it before, make this the first day you've lifted your hands in praise. Begin to just tell Jesus how much you love him in your heart. Get ready to speak it out your mouth. Come on, let's lift him up in this place. Let's declare there is power in the beautiful name of Jesus. Let's declare the name of Jesus over this church, over our lives, over our community.
You have no
to break some chains of darkness over families today. I was going to invite you to come down. If you just love some people to pray over your family, I'm going to get Derek and Tim to come up, and we're just going to pray over families. We're going to pray over our community. But if you're here and you'd say, there's a prodigal in my family, I just want to come home. Maybe you've gotten discouraged and your prayer life, you're just finding it hard to picture how that could happen. But this morning, God's just encouraged you a little bit to pray in faith for that person to come home. Just come on, just start to come to the front. I just believe that there's marriages that God wants to restore. And some of you, you're actually in the process of finding healing. But God, you want to know the fullness of that healing. God's not finished with you yet. Come on, just start to come. There's others of you, you've got someone in your family where there's an addiction that's just holding on. And you want faith today. You're just believing in faith today that God can set free. Come on, just begin to come. Whatever it is, if you need a breakthrough, you need God to break something in your family. We just want to pray over you today. We're going to pray over you. We're going to sing the power of Jesus over you. There's somebody here who there's a prayer that you've had for your family, and you want to believe it, but you're finding it hard to believe, and you realize you've actually stopped praying it. And God's restoring faith in you. That prayer, He wrote that prayer on your heart. And He's calling you to persevere until you see it happen. Come on, there's a few others that need to come. You just want someone. You might be here on your own, that's fine. You might be here as a couple. You might be here as an extended family. Just come and represent your family today. We're just going to pray that God would break off darkness and light would shine. New hope, new purpose, new joy, and salvation will come to your house. Just open your arms, ready to receive this morning. I'm going to get Derek to come and just lead us in prayer.
What I encourage us to do this morning is just, those of you that are out the front, those of you even that haven't come but you're back in your seat, just to close your eyes and just lift that person, all those people, just into the presence of God. Just begin to picture them in your mind's eye this morning. Name them by name. Just see the situation, whatever it is, whatever the difficulty is, whether it's someone that needs to come back to Jesus, whether there's broken relationship, reconciliation is needed, whether there's just frictions, and whatever it might be, just see the people. Allow God to fill your heart with love for them. We're going to pray from a position of the peace of God and the love of God, the victory of God. Because Jesus knows exactly the key to unlock every heart. He knows exactly the script, the blueprint. We don't always know exactly how it happens, but we can surrender to Him the detail if we just allow Him space to move. Come on this morning, you just do that. See those people in front of your face, in front of their mind's eye as we pray. Lift them up, start to name them before Him. Jesus, we thank You, God, that You see every life here represented. God, You see every family here represented. Father, every person, every reconciliation that needs to happen, every word of curse that's been spoken, every word in anger that's been said, memories, Father God, that have been retained, that have caused families, Lord, to fracture or fall apart. Father, things that have happened that have hung over us and they felt like a curse over our lives or over the people that we love. Father, You see it all. And all of it, Father God, is under the name of Jesus. So this morning, Father, we speak the name of Jesus into these situations. God, that these words, Father God, would fall to the ground. They would crumble and dissolve in Jesus' name. Father God, these emotions, these frictions, these walls and barriers, Father, like the walls of Jericho this morning, Father, let them come down in Jesus' name. Father God, as we speak praise, as we blow the trumpets of praise, as we posture before You in faith, Father, we thank You that nothing is impossible to You. And God, this morning, Father, we speak the possibilities of the Spirit, the possibilities of breakthrough, God, the possibilities of renewal. Father God, we know that newness and resurrection life comes from you. Father, we speak that over every life, over every situation in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for breakthrough. We thank you, Father God, that we will see people's lives reunited back to you and to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just stay here. If you're on a prayer team, a pastoral team, or you love Jesus and you're happy to pray for someone, just come and just begin to stand with someone and pray for them while the rest of us just sing. Just sing the name of Jesus. Just pray the name of Jesus in singing over these families. But just come and stand with someone. Put a hand on their shoulder. Just begin to pray for them. Let's speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak.
Speak your name over our families. We speak your name over our church. We speak your name over our community. Lord God, we thank you so much for your incredible faithfulness to us as a community. Lord, thank you for how you've revealed yourself to us time and time again. You've proven your faithfulness. You've shown your grace. You've filled us with your love. Lord God, we want to pray for the future. Lord God, that you would continue to shine your light brightly. Lord, you've given us as a church your word to shine a light brightly into our community, into our nation, into the nations of the world. And Jesus, we want to lift up the ministries of this church, the global ministries, the local ministries, Lord God, that you would use each and everything that we do as a church to shine the light of Jesus into our city, into our world. Lord, we pray particularly for our community, for those living in fear, for those living with worry, for those crippled by anxiety. Jesus, we pray that the people who call this church their home, Lord God, would take the light of Christ into our community. Lord, would we see lives changed as we share our love, as we share the truth about Jesus. Father God, we pray that you would use this church. Lord, you promised that you will grow your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Lord God, we pray that this expression of your church here at Mackenzie, Lord God, would grow and would see people's lives changed because we are faithfully following you, the one who has all power and all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, would you move in our church, in our community? We pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, just stay. Just stay in that place of prayer, church. Just as the band keeps playing, just pray. Whatever the prayer is written on your heart right now, just pray it. Just begin to speak it out. Come on, speak out a prayer over a family. Speak out a prayer over this city. Speak out a prayer over the broken. Speak out a prayer over our nation. Come on, speak out your prayer for the church in this nation. Just discipline yourself. Just if you're online, just maybe you want to type it in the chat, pray in your lounge room. If you still need prayer, just let us know that you want someone to pray for you. But come on, church, let's raise our voices. Come on, let's raise our voices together in prayer. Just like in Acts chapter 4, believing that God has sovereign power over the powers that be. Come on, let's lift our voices and declare the name of Jesus. Continue to burn in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, shake us and awaken us this week as we pray. God, would you move power from heaven to earth? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you to sign up for 1 hour of prayer this week. Be back here next week as we gather together. Continue to pray together as a church for God to move in powerfully. Have a great week. God bless.
Hey, Gateway Online, I recognise there are a whole bunch of you today who are just crying out to God for people who are lost, the prodigals, the people you're praying to come home to Jesus, for people who you've been praying for a long time who are wrapped in addiction and brokenness and hurt. And maybe that's something you're experiencing yourself. And I know from having conversations and praying with people this week how much is going on in your lives. Particularly what I've noticed this week is kids, your kids are being impacted. And maybe that's something to do with our season of prayer and fasting. Maybe that's the enemy trying to attack you right now. And I don't want to over-spiritualize things, but I just want to pray into that. And I just want to join with you guys as you're praying for those around you. And so if you don't mind, why don't we just join together now and pray? Let's lift them up. Lord, I thank you for family. I thank you for the blessing they are. And God, we just pray for the ones that are around us that are broken, that are hurting, that are lost, that have maybe have walked away from you. Maybe, Lord, they've never even really known you. But Lord, we just pray today and lift them up towards you, God, that they would know you, that God, their hope would be found in you. And Lord, we pray for those who are healing in mind and body today. God, I pray that you would strengthen those who are suffering from mental illness, mental health struggles, just the brokenness and the voices in the head that just become all too negative and all too much. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them in the name of Jesus. God, help them to hear the words that you speak to them. Help them to hear your grace and your love and the hope that you pour out over their life. Lord, I pray particularly for those who have had these suicidal thoughts, God, that we've been praying for this week. God, I pray that you will protect their hearts, God, protect their bodies and their lives, God. Help them to be strengthened in your hope today. And I pray for the people around them, God, that they will be a great support for them. Lord, I also pray for those who are just praying the lost home. God, help them not to give up on those that they love, that they want to see come back to you. Lord, I pray that eyes would be open, that hearts would be open to you today, to know the love of the Father that is calling them back to you. God, I pray that they would know that they have a home and a place in you, that there is never too far that they can run, they can never be too far gone. They're only one decision, one turn, one moment away from you, and you are waiting for them. I thank you that that is your heart, Father. I thank you that you are faithful in that. I thank you for the goodness that we have seen from you in that for generations. Lord, we just want to stand with the brokenhearted today. We want to stand with the people who are in the waiting. God, they've been praying for a long time and they're in the waiting to see the answer. God, I pray that you would strengthen them and God, that there would be breakthrough today. Lord, we lift you up knowing that you are the Lord of all. You have all power and all the glory goes to you. Amen. Hey, we want to continue praying for you guys. So if you'd like for us to be praying for you during the week, please reach out. You can reach us anytime online at gatewaybaptist.com.au. And we would love to be praying for you. We have a whole prayer team that would love to pray specifically for you. So please reach out online at gatewaybaptist.com.au. Obviously, you can get prayer anytime when you're here with us during a service. And so please do that as well. We'd love to be praying for you in the moment. Today, we still have people praying. And so if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to receive prayer today, you can click that button that's in the chat. And we'd love to do that. I hope that you have a really blessed week. Don't forget to join us in all of those different opportunities to be praying this week. We got 24/7 prayer. Sign up for an hour. We got prayer on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Come and join us. We're going to be praying. And again, on Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m., they're all Australian times, Australian Eastern Standard Time, sorry, because we have daylight saving at the moment, Brisbane time. Please join us as we finish off this little season, 3 weeks, 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'd love to see you all there. I hope you have a really blessed week. I hope that you're really encouraged by the love and grace of Jesus and that you're aware of his presence with you at all times. See you later.